2023-24 school year. I'm here this morning with Alex Holzapfel and Dakota Spurrier, Kirk Konecki, superintendent of Indian Hill. Welcome, gang.
Great. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for being here this morning. So let's start with some accolades, first of all. I'm looking at Alex here, and Alex, you are 2022 sectional champion, three-time CHL first team, and two-time first team all-city. And, of course, we're going to talk about this summer. You're playing golf all the time, but you had a hole-in-one before school started. Congratulations on all these amazing accolades.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the hole-in-one. We were kind of joking before the podcast about, like, we don't even know what that takes, right? But what happened that day, and how did it happen?
Well, it was a match against Finneytown, a little nine-hole league match, which I wish it was 18 holes. It would have been fun to post a score. But, I mean, I hit a really good shot. I was right at it and kind of stopped watching it for a bit. And then the Finneytown coach started screaming in the background, and it spun back in the hole, and he threw his hands up and started screaming. So it was cool.
So he was watching it as it's happening, and you're just hoping that you're following through and having a great shot.
Yeah.
Is this like a par three, par four? What's going on?
Yeah, it was a par three, pretty short. It was just over a little water.
And what course was it at?
It's the Mill.
Okay, and the Mill is probably a fairly playable course for a guy like you, right? But like for me, it would be a hard course.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's pretty easy. We play it all the time, though,
so. Yeah, I was trying to be nice to myself there, but yeah, you play it all the time. But had you ever had another hole-in-one before?
I had one in seventh grade at the Little Miami par three course.
But, so you've actually had two hole-in-ones, and you haven't even graduated from high school yet.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Dakota, like, you hear that, right? And you, in your own right, are a pretty amazing athlete here. So let's talk about you for a minute. Four-year varsity volleyball captain, first team CHL, all-region team 2022, four-year varsity basketball, 25th best club volleyball team in the nation you play for, and you've already committed to play D1 volleyball at the University of Northern Florida. Pretty impressive resume, huh, Alex?
That's pretty cool.
When you guys hear that about each other as upperclassmen, seniors going through your last year here now at IH, like, what do you think about that? What about his career?
I mean, so my brother and dad, they're big golfers. Well, big, but they love the sport. So I understand, like, that's super impressive. I mean, I tried to go on the course once down at Little Miami. It was humbling, let's say that. So I mean, that's super impressive just to hear that alone, just from his dad's.
And you committed earlier than some of your classmates do because, like you said, you went to a camp and just got a feeling, right? What happened?
Yeah. So over the summer, I just sent out more emails, and I got a response from the assistant coach, and he was just come down to our camp. And it was kind of generic, but I was like, you know what? I really like the school. I love the area. Let's go give it a try. I got there and I had an amazing experience. I loved the area. I loved the coaching style the most. And so just, it felt right. And right after the camp, I was so energetic and super happy to get a response from all the coaches. And they were like, hey, we love you. And we kind of started that recruiting process within that, like, a month, and ended up signing. So
congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome. So we're looking forward to hearing great things about that, obviously, in the future, but probably a little bit of a weight off your shoulders.
Yeah.
Alex, you kind of have a little bit of a weight on your shoulders this year with the golf team, right? Because you guys have kind of gone through some transition. A number of seniors graduated last year, and we were joking earlier in the year in the hallway that you're kind of carrying the load a little bit this year with your peers, right? So how do you approach your senior season? And when you hear about the plans, like, from an athlete like this, what goes through your head?
Yeah, well, it's definitely been different. This has been the first year where we haven't really known what our team's going to look like before the season. So it was really, like, the most open tryout we've had, and I had no idea who was going to be on varsity. So just, like, kind of taking in the role of trying to be a leader and show the kids what they need to do to win and get to state. It's been tough, but I've been maturing for sure and getting used to it.
And so that is probably going to be the resilient kind of skills, right, that hopefully not just help you in golf day to day, but help you at the next level.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What are you kind of looking at as you're kind of looking ahead for your future? Is golf a part of that picture?
I hope it is. There's still a chance, but if it doesn't, I'll be all right.
So as you guys are going through this whole process, right, like you mentioned emails and camp, and I know that you put endless hours into practice, how does the rising high school student, what can they learn from the two of you about, like, hey, if you want to be a captain or you want to be a four-year varsity letterman or you want to think about going to the next level, what are some of the things you got to do to prepare? You guys have been through it now. Like, if you were giving advice to a freshman, what would you tell them?
I think as from an athlete's perspective, just, I guess, being who you are and staying true to yourself, that's something that I think a lot of people should focus on. And also just having a strong voice or being a leader in your own way. I think that's very important. I know some people, though they're quiet, they lead by example. And I thought, like, when I was younger and I looked up to some people, I know that was their type of leadership style. And that's still a great leader. Cause like, I know for me, I'm going to be more talkative. I'm going to go out of my way to talk to younger girls and try to give them advice. But I know, I think just staying true to yourself and how you lead is very important.
Great, great advice. I think, what about you, Alex? What do you think?
I'd say do it for yourself. Don't do it for others. Focus on making yourself happy and making sure you reach your goals and make sure not knowing anyone else's goals.
Retweet.
Yeah. So when it comes to like preparation, right, you have to do things a little bit different for your sports. But talk about that, like doing it for yourself with golf. Like, what does it actually entail? A lot of people may not know how much time and effort you've put into practicing your skills over the years. What's a routine look like for you that maybe people wouldn't know?
Yeah, well, I remember at the start of high school, I talked to my swing coach, and we wrote down like a bunch of goals that I had for the rest of high school, and they were my goals. And so I would look at those every once in a while and remember like what I'm working towards and what I wanted to do. And I mean, I'm practicing all summer. Summer is where it's most important if you're trying to play in college.
And what are you actually doing when you're practicing, Alex, so that people know? Because it's not always just going out and playing 18 holes a day, even though you play a lot.
Yeah.
What else are you doing?
A lot of short game. I spend countless hours in the short game range and working on the wedges. So, like, inside 150 yards is my main practice area. And then going and playing and working on that on the course and then working on it after.
I mean, really learning to shape your shots,
yeah.
Hit a target from a certain distance. That's really high level of skill. Most golfers will never get to that level because they won't put the time into practice the way you have. And you've been doing that every summer, right? For probably the last four at least.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been playing for a long time.
Yeah.
Which again, I think that takes a lot of self-discipline and a lot of commitment. And again, Dakota and I were joking before, right? A lot of people think of golf as like, it's going to be fun, right? But we know how frustrating it can be if you're good and you can't shape a shot, right? And you can't hit a certain distance. So that's really cool. Now, Dakota, I think a lot of people think that volleyball can look easy until they play. But when you're jumping, you know, whatever your vertical is, I don't even know. Do you know what your vertical is?
I have no idea.
Probably. It's got to be over 25 inches at least. You're getting up there and you're spiking a ball from mid-court to the other side of the court. Like, you make that look easy. How hard is it?
It took a lot of time. I mean, when I was younger, I know I struggled a lot with like hand contact, and that was something else I actually worked on a lot this past year during club season. Like, just looking at the ball, like, it sounds simple, but it's something you just got to work on, and or your timing. Timing's also such a big part of it, where like you got to time it for your vertical or like how high you're reaching it. Yeah, it all goes into play.
And that hand-eye coordination, but also being able to get that jump and really time it all.
Yeah.
And it's funny because people think like in basketball, layup is easy. Yeah, people miss layups all the time, right? Because there's so much of that full body coordination that goes into it. And in volleyball, if you move your hand just the slightest bit, right, you might hit a totally different angle.
Yeah.
So have you seen her blast one of these spikes from midcourt?
It's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive, right? And I mean, I was there again Tuesday night and I'm watching this. And the funny thing is sometimes I'll take pictures and I try to like take a picture of someone serving or spiking more than once. And every time I take a picture of you when you're doing the midcourt spike, you have like the same form to me, right? As a former like coach and athlete, I'm like, oh, that's why, right? She has become like this muscle memory is there for you now because you practice so much. But I don't know if people know what you guys do at practice. Like, how repetitive is that to get to that level? Like, what do you do?
Like, I know.
How many balls do you have to hit?
Yeah, I mean, so just with different aspects of the game, I know for high school now, we've been really working on like serve receive, we're just passing, and we could do that for like almost up to an hour total, because we'll do a drill where we're passing for 20 minutes, and then a few drills later, we do another one. And like, it's super repetitive. I think hitting, I mean, doing another drill with just hitting, like I'm hitting probably 80 balls just in one drill.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I think there's this perception, right, just in pop culture, right, that like beach volleyball, golf, they're more like leisure sports. And then when people see the competitiveness that happens in a real round or competition, they really learn, right? And you also burn a ton of calories and you go through a ton of energy. So what's your go-to like for replenishing yourself after you've played around or you've done your workout? Like, what do you do to make sure you're staying fit and taking care of your hunger?
I mean, I usually just go to Chipotle.
Chipotle, right. Burrito or a bowl and yeah, get a lot of protein and kind of, what about you, Dakota?
Like maybe right after a game. Well, just cause I'm a diabetic as well. My blood sugar goes low. So a Gatorade, just chug a whole Gatorade. Just, yeah.
And you can tell, right? Like it helps you start to kind of replenish your fuel a little bit. It used to be 25, 30 years ago that golf, boys golf, was one of the fastest growing sports in the state of Ohio, and girls volleyball was one of the fastest growing sports in the state of Ohio. Now, it's the opposite. Boys volleyball is one of the fastest growing sports in the state of Ohio, and girls golf continues to be one of the fastest growing. Why do you think that is?
I know with boys volleyball, it's become very popular recently. I think guys are starting to really, like, it's a fun sport. Like, I know a lot of the guys that come up to me, they're like, I love just, like, watching it and, like, just the energy. And I think because boys are super athletic as well, like, just naturally. And so I think playing can just be a lot of fun.
And do you guys do anything in the summers, like, where there's, I know 50 West and places like that, but do people go and play, like, co-ed? Do they go and get out and play for fun? Have you seen that?
A little bit. I know for clubs sometimes we're bringing some guys or we play on, like, a higher net with boys, and it's competitive, so, yeah.
What's really interesting is if you look at NCAA sports in the history of them, men's volleyball has been around for a long time. So maybe it's an opportunity for people now. What about the growth and the fueling of women in golf? Like, what are you seeing? Am I right or wrong about this? Because across Ohio schools, it's been growing like crazy.
Yeah, I'd say you're definitely right. I'd say since COVID, no one had anything to do. Everyone had nothing to do. So they would just go to the golf courses, an isolated area, and there's no risk, really. And so that really started the boom of golf overall. And then, women just started getting into it more and more. I think it's awesome.
Getting out, especially during the pandemic, right? Like golf was one of those sports that if you played it, it didn't have to stop for you. You could still get out, get some fresh air. And there was that perception, right? You're safe and you're alone or whatever. Yeah. And I think definitely a lot of people went out and tried new things. I think pickleball also, I think, has grown in popularity too. Why is it so loud at volleyball games all the time? Like, one of the things about volleyball, right, is everybody's always screaming and yelling, even on the team and the bench. Like, why is that, Dakota?
I think volleyball is such an energy sport. Like, I mean, so our team, we just went to watch Louisville versus Dayton last night as, like, team bonding. And you could just tell, like, Louisville is ranked fourth in the nation right now, and Dayton's not even ranked. But it was clear, because they went to five sets, it was Dayton's energy. Like, they just kept the momentum. It's, like, such a momentum sport. And if your team's down, then everyone doesn't play as high as they can.
So does it matter to you as a student athlete when we talk about things like school spirit and what you've seen over the last, whatever, 7 years, middle school, high school? Does it matter to you when more of Brave Nation shows up and they're louder in the gym? Does it actually help the team?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, having our student section the other night at our game, it was so much fun just to, like, hear their chants, hear their cheer. Like, it just builds energy.
And I've seen over the last couple of years, students in your grade level, I think, and others have made a concerted effort to try to grow that more and be coming out to support the other teams. Like, I noticed it at soccer last week. And I think that it's awesome to see as an adult, the school spirit, but do your peers care more? I guess, Alex, are you seeing that change over the last couple of years when it comes to what, I mean, I'm just putting it under the umbrella of school spirit, but like leading and showing up for your colleagues. I mean, is that changing?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say, I mean, there's just more like awareness of the, like the games that are going on every day. Like there's always something set in the class, like group chat that everyone sees, and like, there's a game going on and here's the theme, like, please come and support, and it's drawn a lot more attention.
That's great. I mean, that's something that with social media even and keeping track, like you said, with each other on a chat, it's a positive way for people to interact, gather, get together, and have some fun, right? Which is what you want to do when you're done with your academics during the day. Why is it golf is so quiet, right? When the competitions are going on, and that's a lot of that's tradition, but why is that important?
Well, you have like something like a second to make the most perfect golf swing and hit a ball that's like the smallest in any sport, 300 yards. You need a lot of focus to do that.
Yeah, and I think there are people that get that and people that don't, right? And even with some of the stuff that's happening in the pro golf leagues, like people have kind of evolved in what certain courses will tolerate and not tolerate. But traditionally speaking, unlike volleyball, you really only have a couple seconds to make a real focused decision and try to have a great shot. And so it's about respect, right, during the game. But you could be a good fan. You just have to know how to behave, right, when you're being a good fan. I think that's really interesting how you see that across different sports, which is another reason I think it's so great that your peers come to support and see, because then they also learn, oh, here are kind of like the social norms and rules of everything we do out there, right? And it is different for different venues. I think the other night at volleyball, right, it was like, okay, everybody can be really loud, but then there are certain times where maybe you got to be respectful to the other side, right? those things come up. And our parents, of course, also learn. It's not just students, right? Parents learn how to behave in those things too. What do you guys think about this whole evolution of like, when you see things in the news about like parents going overboard with their behavior at like Little League games, or parents getting too hot and, you know, upset at a high school event, or somebody actually like laying their hands on somebody, like, what do you think when you see those things?
I mean, it's definitely a little excessive. Like, it just shows the parents might want it a little too much, maybe even more than the kids sometimes.
And why do you think that is, Alex?
They're being competitive, and they want to make something out of their child, even though they can let their child do that themselves.
Okay, what do you think?
Yeah, living vicariously through their child. I think it's a bit much seeing a grown adult yelling at their 10-year-old child. Like, it's just like, it's not that serious at that age. And I get when you're older and you become, or when the child's older, and I guess being competitive and cheering, but being super excessive and it's not necessary.
I think if you were competing, right, in golf, and somebody was yelling, and it might start to become a real disturbance or distraction to you, especially while you're in the moment of competing. That's a lot different than trying to mentor or coach somebody from the side or have a conversation. In a volleyball game where it is loud and the arena is loud and you're expecting people to yell, like, even if somebody was yelling at you, like, you could probably block it out a little more.
Yeah.
I think sometimes the adults around the arena and even the other students, they don't realize that, you know, when you get in the heat of the moment, the point starts, you're not paying attention to what they're saying. Yeah. You're paying attention to the point, right?
Yeah.
But the reason I was asking some of that question too is to go back to this idea of like how we view your experience, right, versus how you view your experience and what you want. How do you communicate those boundaries, like with your parents, as you're going through high school as a teenager and you're kind of trying to establish, like, here's my authentic self, here's my identity, here's what I want to be doing, right? And then here's how much I'm sharing and involving with you in it, because your parents are your biggest cheerleaders, right? But there's also boundaries, and so every high school student goes through this. How do you try to communicate with your parents to like set and establish and maintain those like healthy boundaries?
I think just like communicating how I'm feeling. I know a few years ago I was really struggling with like too much was just going on, and I think with them also being overboard, just like telling them like how I'm feeling just really helped, because then they were able to sympathize or just like help me in the best way possible.
So just, I'm really tired today, or not feeling the best, or in a bad mood today over something, but you had to actually say it.
Yeah, and just be like, hey, like, I just finished basketball, just finished club volleyball, all for like the past 6 hours. I really need some time alone.
Yeah,
that's important. How it is.
What about you, Alex, when you think about that?
Well, I'd say at an early age, my parents like had me try like every sport possible, and then at some point they just had me pick one. And so it was at the end of the day, it was between soccer and golf, and so I picked golf, and then I just kind of ran with it. And since then, I've obviously played in a lot of tournaments over the summer, and that's all been like my decision. Like, I'm trying to schedule those, and then I talk with my dad about it. If it works for him, then we go do it. If it doesn't, then we'll find something else to do. But it's always been like what I want to do, and they're just accepting of that.
Very accepting of what you're trying to do in order to further the sport. How about like with academics and just the social aspect of what you go through, right? A teenager, you got the driver's license, you're out with your buddies or whatever. Like, how do you navigate that with communicating with your parents? I mean, especially in the age where everybody's got a device in their hands today, do you have like ground rules?
Yeah, but I feel like I sort of set those for myself. Like, the rule's always been, or at least it was in like elementary and middle school, to do your homework and then you go play.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've never stressed about not getting work done. Like, I know I have to get it done, and my parents just expect that.
And I think both of you have a reputation for getting your work done, and I'm glad you said it that way. But the academic side, while you're competing and playing sports and putting as many hours in, is tough, right? And we have students who are doing this with performing arts and doing it with art and just other activity, service organizations, leadership. There's a lot of things you want to fit in. How do you keep that self-discipline with your academic load? Like Alex was saying, Dakota, what do you do?
I think I just try to get it done as soon as possible. Like, I, like now during high school season, like we'll go on bus rides to our away games. And then during JV, like, I get the work done as soon as possible. Like, I write it down right after, or after the teacher says, hey, we have this assignment due tomorrow, write it down, and then immediately try to get it done.
And then when it comes to like projects and things like that, where you have to kind of plan, right? Like, I've got to turn this in a couple of weeks or whatever, and you know you're getting those bigger projects. What do you do? Like, do you set aside a chunk of time and go, okay, I'm just not going to do anything Sunday. I'm going to take these 3 hours and do that. Or how do you do that, Alex?
Well, balancing that with like sports and all the other stuff, like, I always make sure I take 1 to 2 off days per week so I don't burn out. And then I use those off days pretty well to get all my work done.
There are so many adults that don't even do that. So that's a great strategy, you know, and I think everybody's always trying to figure out how can I fit everything in? And then how can I also have a schedule that keeps a healthy balance for me? Sleep, food, academics, right? It can be overwhelming unless you kind of create these routines. And it sounds like you've both created some really good routines. Let's change gears and talk for the last few minutes about your experiences here. You've been through a lot last 4 years. If there's a teacher or a mentor or a coach that really stands out in your mind who's had a positive influence on you from Indian Hill, who would it be? Dakota, if you had to pick one off the top of your head.
First one that comes to mind is probably the high school basketball coach, Rachel Smith.
And why is that?
And the coaching staff. Ultimately that decided my future for going to UNF. I knew that I wanted a coach that is firm. They tell me what I'm doing wrong or how do I fix it. But they support me in my moments of need, and they are always there for me, and I owe them a lot.
So you've had a relationship, obviously, with Coach Smith and the staff for some time now, right?
Yeah.
Really important, and you think that'll continue after you leave?
I hope so. They're like a second family, honestly. I know, so one of my close friends, Brooke, her dad, I have had her dad as a coach since I was like in second grade, and then moving into high school with Rachel, it became like a sisterhood, and it's like a second family with all those girls.
That's great to hear, second family, because that's what I'm sure you and your family want to hear. And so it sounds like overall pretty positive relationship, right, that you've been developing, not just with one coach, but with a family of coaches. And that's great. And I get to see that with you in the winters. What about you, Alex, if you had to pick someone that was like a go-to?
Yeah, I'd say Adam Boehm. I think his title's the golf program director. Yeah, so he was our coach last year, and he's trusted me through the process last year and then transitioning this year when we lost to all of our seniors. I just know he's someone who, like, I can rely on to help me through anything, and he's helped me, like, try to reach my goals, and that's been awesome.
I think he's a person a lot of people maybe are still learning about and meeting in the district, but you've had a relationship with. That's great to hear. And obviously he's got an extensive background, not just in the sport, but just as a leader. when did you decide, Alex, like in your mind, right? And I don't know, that's why I'm asking, like, when did you decide, like, okay, now I'm not just going to be a golfer, I'm going to be a leader?
When I realized we were losing five seniors next year and I was the only one left.
So was it like it during that season, or was it like after you reflected on the season? Like, because there's usually a moment where people are like, okay, I'm going to step up, right? Or I'm going to do this different, or I'm going to take an approach. Do you remember like that time?
It was definitely after the season, because last year, like, I knew all those guys really well. So we all kind of did it at the same time. It's just a whole new group of guys. So I had to get used to teaching them how to do everything that we used to. And getting used to all the pressure and stuff like that.
Well, I think you guys are off to a good start. I know you probably want more, but I think it's been very impressive to see. And you keep doing what you're doing, because it's going to pay off. Dakota, same question to you. When did you decide, you know, because it may not have been the coach that said, hey, I need you to be a leader, right? But when did you decide, I'm going to lead this volleyball team?
I think it's just my personality to try to be a leader. I like being around people. I know my freshman year, I was under seniors who had very big leadership personalities, and that wasn't my time. But I think my sophomore year, I started really becoming that leader, just because I was playing all around, and I knew my goals and aspirations. And I think, like, playing at the next level now, like, you kind of have to be that kind of leader for a school team.
As you move forward, I know you're still trying to make some decisions about the future. You've committed. What are those skills, or, I mean, intangibles, I guess, that you're going to take away from your high school experience, sports or no sports? What are some of the things you've learned here at Indian Hill from the other leaders and the adults, the ones you mentioned, that you know are going to help you be successful at the next level? Are there things that stick out, or experiences with certain people that stick out that you would point to, one or two?
I'd say keep staying organized and good time management skills. That's really important in college, obviously. And then leadership, like we talked about, and just being able to talk to everybody. It makes it a lot easier when you can find any random person and create a good conversation with them.
And are there adults in the building or buildings over time, along with your peers, that you feel like you've been able to do that comfortably with?
I'd say Mr. Domaday and Mr. Phelps have been easy to talk to. I can at any point go up and ask them any question if you're willing to answer.
That's great. That's great to hear. What about you, Dakota?
I think, kind of like I said earlier, just staying true to yourself. I think that's something that every high schooler goes through in their 4 years. It's like, who am I? And I think that's my biggest takeaway, is like, I'm not pretending to be someone else to impress someone. I'm me, you know?
Well, I love hearing that. And I think that's a good place for us to find some closure. I think both of you, and I chose you both for couple reasons. One, you're both very tall. Two, you both have had amazing athletic accolades. But three, I think you both lead in your own way. And it's funny, like, I don't know how often you all get to interact, but I get to see that from afar all the time. And I think your principals and your teachers learn that. Dakota and Alex, you are definitely leaders in your own right. You're your own person, and you both have such bright futures ahead of you. Thank you for sharing today on the Edge of Hero podcast. You guys are the first to go this year, but I look forward to hearing about all the great things you do in the future, and go Braves.
All right. Thank you so much for having us.